Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Lord, I thank you for your Holy Spirit. Lord, I thank you that you have not left us without a comforter. I thank you, Lord, that you left us with a written word. You left us, Lord, so that we should not get lost. And if we get lost, Lord, we can find the way back. So help us, O Lord. Speak to our hearts, Lord. Give us, O Lord, an attitude of obedience to you. In the mighty name of Jesus, we ask. Amen. Amen. Can you, brethren, endure more word? That's a question. Can you translate that? Can you, brethren, endure more preaching of the word?
Yes.
You had an awfully big meal. Amen. You know, it seems like a long time ago that we heard this word. And it seems like God gave us time and season to put it into practice. That was maybe 25, 30, I don't know, years ago. But I'm thinking, God is giving you an awfully lot in just a few days. I believe that we are running out of time. But I believe that God will give you the grace to get to the place that you need to be when He appears. Hallelujah. If it were too late, He would not have sent us here. So you have time. But you don't have more time than you need. But you have enough. Hallelujah. I want to start in the Word. In the book of Revelation. And Brother promised you yesterday that I would fill in some of the missing links. Amen. I can't possibly fill them all in 1 hour. Because I promised to obey the timer. That's just right. Yeah. Okay. Amen. So let us turn to the Revelation, the second chapter. And there's two passages here that I'd like to read to you. You know, brethren, keep in mind that the Bible is a spiritual book. And that Revelation is a very spiritual book. The things that John saw, he saw in the Spirit. So if you think that we will find these things in the natural, for example, you see this beast rising up out of the sea. Well, I'll be down there with my camera. It isn't going to happen that way. It's a spiritual picture. Now, God isn't finished talking to us about ministry. And I want to say what I said yesterday again. God is not against leadership in the church. God is not against ministry. He wants it in His order. And in the course of 2,000 years, the church and the church systems have left the order of God. Nevertheless, during that whole 2,000 years since Jesus Christ, there have been a remnant of people that God has preserved unto truth. If you have a desire to know truth in the inward parts, you will find it. I can remember as a much younger man how I hungered and thirsted for truth. I remember going to some of the older ministries that I knew. Asking them questions. And some of them didn't like my questions. I've been rebuked for the questions I asked. But nevertheless, I came back to God. And I said, God, man will not tell me. How can I be a teacher of the Word of God and not know the answers? If I'm going to be a teacher of the Word, I have to defend every word that I say by the Bible. And so the Bible is the basis of all that I believe. I was an itinerant public health nurse in the state of Alaska for 5 years. And I flew in these small, single-engine, six-passenger airplanes. One day I was in the back of the plane, and the pilot had invited a priest friend of his to fly along. I was only about 24 years old. I did not understand the word that I understand today. And yet I did know the Word of God. And I said to this priest, wouldn't you know that I'd be the one to bring that up to him? And by the way, I didn't call him father either. I knew that too. So I said, priest, can you tell me something? How is it that the practices of your church do not conform to the Word of God? I mean the written Word of God, the Bible. he looked at me and he said, well, we also hold tradition. To be equal and sometimes greater than the written word. And you see, in 2,000 years, the church has gotten into traditions that are contrary to the Word of God. I had pastor friends. I had more years ago than I have today. But I asked this one brother, I said, brother, do you believe what I've been telling you about that the church should be have leadership of elders? He said, yes, I believe it. I said, but you don't practice it. He looked at me and he said, because it doesn't work your way. And in the course of years, I have often thought about that conversation I had with my friend. By the way, his name was also Mark. And I've been thinking that if you want to run a factory, and if you want to mass produce things, then you should be organized like a factory. But if you want to have a church of people that are governed by the Spirit of the living God, it is going to require a lot more work of a leader. The easiest thing, the way to most easily slide is, I'll just do it. But that isn't the way Paul taught Timothy. He said, Timothy, I want you to find other faithful young men. I'm paraphrasing. And those young men will in turn find other young men. And the remnant of this word will continue to be passed on. I don't know if you have access to books. I want to give you the name of a book. I don't know how hard it is for you to find, but you can write it down anyway. It is a book, one of the best books of the history of the church, the true church, that I have ever found. It is called The Torch of the Testimony. The Torch of the Testimony. It's written by a Mr. Kennedy of India. And God has had a remnant. Now, let us talk about, in this book, by the way, you should know that it didn't take hardly more than 100 years after the crucifixion and resurrection for the church to begin to slide into the state that it is in today. Now the book of Revelation was penned by the hand of the man named John. It was about the year of 90. The year of 90. When he... What?
90.
Yeah. Okay. Did we get the right date?
Yeah, it's okay.
Some of the scholars might say it was 91 or something. I don't know. Somewhere around that time. Now, let me read you two passages that Jesus is saying to two of the seven churches. In the first instance, it's the message to Ephesus. By the way, did you know that John's home in his older years was in Ephesus? After his time on the Isle of Patmos, he went back to Ephesus, and that's where he died. That's just history, it's not in the Bible. Okay, so to John's home church, here is the message. Verse 6, chapter 2. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. So in Ephesus, little less than 60 years after the crucifixion, you now have a young generation of people who have not personally known Jesus Christ. They have an old man in town who has old-fashioned beliefs. But they want to get modern. And some of them were beginning to bring in the actions of the Nicolaitans. Now, it was worse in Pergamos. That's the third church. We come down here to verse 15. So hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. And the next verse says, repent. Repent, or I am coming in judgment. By the way, you know, I don't ever hear of some of these churches anymore. I don't know if there's anything going on in Pergamos today. Now, what is this thing that God says He hates? He didn't just say, I find it objectionable. He didn't say it's a little out of taste. No. He came out with some very strong words about it. Now, if I found out that there was something that God hates, I don't think I'd want to be in conflict with God. Because guess who's going to win in the end? I want to be on the right side. I couldn't get anybody to tell me what this word means. How many of you, brethren, have access to a Strong's Concordance? Strong's Concordance.
Ni wangapi mnajibu la hiyo Strong's Concordance? Ama mna hiyo kitabu? Strong's Concordance.
Only one brother? Two brothers? Oh my goodness. You know, you, how many of you have laptop computers? A few more. Oh, brethren, you need to go to a bookstore and you need to order a Strong's Concordance. Order that before you order the other book, I said. Yes, now the Strong's Concordance. You probably need to be able to understand English too. I forgot about that problem. Are some of you that cannot read English? It's written in English. Is it written in any other language that you know of, Tajoki? The Strong's Concordance? I don't think so. All right, I'm going to help you then. You can take any word in the King James Bible. You look it up in the Strong's Concordance. And you can get a little program free, practically, for your computer that you can just download. It has the same information. You look the word up. If it's in the New Testament word, it will give you a number, and then you go over to the Greek and it gives you the Greek definition of that word. Yes.
It has some of those.
Some of that information, yes, in a study Bible. Okay.
So if you don't have a Strong, that's the closest you can go.
Yeah, I don't know what's available in Swahili.
Greek study King James Bible, Lexicon
Publishers. Review. If you have some information. And I said,
I want you to be able to go to the Word of God, not the tradition, but the Word of God, and prove or unprove the things that I am saying to you. But for now, I guess you'll have to trust me. Amen? Yes. And I have to answer to him. All right. So I went to look in the Strong's Concordance for the meaning of the word Nicolaitans. Dr. Strong was apparently a very good scholar.
Dr. Strong,
but he was also a churchman. And he did not want to give the correct definition of that word. It's the only word I ever found that he would not properly define. And I thought, this must be a powerful dynamite word. I'll tell you what it means. It's made up of two Greek words. Niko
niko,
which means to take the rule over, to take dominion, Nico Laetans, to take the rule over the lay people. Now remember, Jesus said, I hate that. Let me give you an example of where Brother Strong was correct in his definitions. You look up the word Nicolopolis. It says the city where they took the dominion. You look up the name Nicodemus. Man that takes authority over others. And there's several of these Nico words that are properly defined. But when he came to Nicolaitans, he said a sect of people that didn't believe the right things. Now, I had an old Scofield Bible given to me, and they told me that the true definition was in the footnote of that old Scofield Bible. I eagerly turned to the page, and yes, it was the correct definition. It said what Nicolaitan did, what it was speaking of is the formation of a two-class system in the church. A class of clergy and a class of laity. Which the Lord hated. Now I have another friend. By the way, that old Scofield Bible was made revised in the early 1960s. And all of the American Baptist conventions, according to a friend of mine who said he knew from first-hand experience, they went to the publisher and they said, you change that definition or none of the Baptists will ever buy your Bible. And so they changed the definition in the footnote of the Bible. So what they had begun to practice in Ephesus, they had already made it a doctrine in Pergamos. And if you read the book that I first mentioned to you, he says that the system of monarchical bishops, monarch means king. Ruling bishops. Was well established less than 100 years later than this. Now the men who formed this system of of pastors and bishops. I read the story. I read their history. I am convinced that they were good men. They had a good motive for doing what they did. Heresy was coming into the church. And they wanted to control some of these wild doctrines that were coming in, which are probably here now. And so they began to appoint men to rule over the church. And older ones to rule over the younger ones. Amen. Well, that's where the system went bad. That's where the clerical system. Now, you say, well, that's where they went bad, but what does God's order say? And I don't possibly have time to tell you all that God wants. But let's get started. Turn to the fourth chapter of Ephesians. And we are going to find a definition of what we would call fivefold ministry. Now, the term fivefold ministry is not written in those exact three words in the Bible. But there are five ministries that are listed in this chapter. And if you get a hold of the book, The Pattern, Brother DeCille, you can find that God put the pattern of ministry in the tabernacle. There were bars that held the golden boards of the tabernacle structure itself. The bars held the boards from going in disorder. There were five bars. Okay. The top two bars were the bars of the prophet and the evangelist. The long bar in the center was the bar of the apostle. And the bottom two bars were the bars of the teacher and the shepherd. And the boards, of course, represent God's people. But the boards had a silver ring, and the ring held on to the bars. So the people will recognize God's appointed ministry. Now the problem with many organizations is that it's man-appointed ministry. Another one of my pastor friends, he told me that he had rewritten all the bylaws of his church. I said, why did you do that? He said, so they can't fire me. He said, I don't want to be a hireling, so I can't be a fireling. Well, the brother was probably a hireling anyway. The brother was probably a hireling anyway. Amen. Well, let me read what it says here in Ephesians. And it says here, it talks first of all about how Christ ascended. Okay. And in his leaving the earth, again, I'm paraphrasing a little bit here. He gave gifts. He gave ministry gifts to the church. All right, in verse 11 of chapter 4, if you've got your Bible with you, it says, and he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Okay, now I read it the way the King James Bible says it. And that'll be the last time that I'm going to read it that way. Because the translators changed one of the words that was not in the original Bible. You know a little bit about the history of the King James Bible, don't you? Was it 1611? King James of England? Okay. And I think he followed Henry VIII, who broke away from Rome because Rome wouldn't give him as many divorces as he wanted. Nevertheless, the church in King James time, the Episcopal Church, operated almost exactly like the Roman Catholic Church. They just had a different archbishop. And so among the translators were appointed men, scholars, but also churchmen. So when they come to this word, shepherds, they already had a system of bishops and pastors. And so when they got to this word, they said, let's put the word pastor here. By the way, let me show you quickly another word. If you go over to 1 Timothy chapter 3, and maybe one of you can tell me if your Bible uses the term pastor and bishop. By the way, does it, in the what I read, does it say pastor?
Yeah.
In your language?
Yeah.
Do you have a different word for shepherd than pastor?
No. It's one.
You have only one word?
It's shepherd.
Okay, well then it's got to be the mindset we'll have to talk about. You have the right word. No two different words. See, we have two different words in English. And they have... Yeah, they have two different meanings. Close, but not the same. Pastor is a Latin word. The English Bible was translated from Greek.
Biblia ama tafsiri ya Agano Jipya ilitafsiriwa kutoka maneno ya Kiyunani.
How did a Latin word come into an English Bible where Greek was the original text? And the same thing happened here in Timothy chapter 3, where Paul said to Timothy, I'll read King James first. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desires a good work. If a man desires the office of bishop, he desires a good work. Now, does Swahili have a word for bishop?
Yeah, it says bishop here.
Okay. You had that word from hundreds of years ago, right? You have it right. Is that a Swahili Bible?
No, English Bible.
Oh, it's English Bible.
Okay, the Swahili Bible at the footnote.
The footnote says.
Explains the bishop, the Swahili bishop, as an overseer also.
Okay, but they put the word bishop in.
Yeah.
You could just as well put the word overseer there. In other words, if you're translating the Bible, put the correct word in, don't make it a footnote. People don't read the footnotes. Amen.
Amen.
So another. By the way, that word bishop in is episcopus. Amen. And the episcopus is the Greek word. Bishop is the Latin word. So getting back to Ephesians chapter 4. Amen. The word pastor. Do any of you know any Greek? I don't know any Greek, but I have written some things down. If you're a Greek scholar, please tell me and you can help me here. I know is what I read in the concordance, you know, and write it down, try to pronounce it, you know. Alright, let me give you three words that describe, that are the Greek words that refer to what church has called pastor, and I'm going to call shepherd. Okay, the word shepherd is poimen. P-O-I-M-E-N, poimen. The word sheep is poimnion. The word to take care of sheep is poimniano. Now you don't need to be a oil engineer or a rocket scientist to figure this out. They're the same, they come from the same root. Shepherds tend sheep. And the meaning of the Latin word shepherd is herdsman. Now, we're driving up here from Nairobi. And there are many pastors along the roadside. They have goats. They have donkeys. They have cows. And some sheep. So they are herdsmen. They are truly pastors in the Latin word definition. The original word. Now, I grew up on a farm. My father had many cows. And I know how to take care of cows. You know, have you, any of you taken care of sheep and cows? How many of you have? Then you know that sheep and cows are different. You got a cow. You got a herd of cows. You get a stick. You get a dog. Drive the cows. If they don't drive, you put a rope on them. In the Philippines, they put a ring in their nose. In other words, the cow is moved by constraint. The cow must be driven to make her go the way you want her to go. I don't know what shepherds are like today out there on the roadsides. But in the time of David, in the time of Jesus, the shepherd leads his sheep. So you say, well, okay, so I just changed my title. But I'll continue to do business as usual. That's what some of the brethren in the Philippines did. So we had to come back and we preached again. No, you see, it's a whole different mindset. When I first heard this word, I really didn't love the title pastor. But I thought, well, I just won't behave like one. I'll behave like a shepherd. But my conscience began to bother me. And I didn't know some of the things that I'm telling you today. Finally, I said to the people, listen, I am brother. The only people I ever allowed to get away with it, one time, is a visitor that comes for the first time. I don't blast him. I don't give him a shout. But if he does it again, I gently correct him. Please, I am brother. Amen. Now, we're talking about the reason I'm spending so much time on this thing, the pastor. Again, I'm talking the King James Bible. And the ministry influence of King James and the UK, which grew up on King James, was to set up the church system as we know it today. The missionaries taught the pastor system. And by the way, I'm sure they were good people. They gave their life. They loved God. And I'm sure they loved the sheep. But if we're coming into a day when judgment must first begin at the house of God, then I want to get my house of God in order, and I don't want to face a flaming set of eyes. I don't want to face Him. I tell you, brethren, I have seen Jesus face to face. I don't know vision or whatever it was. I was in a place for at least a week or more when I was between death and life. When I first went into this, I had a heart attack. And the people in the ambulance were asking me my name, and I didn't know my name. But I knew I was communing with God in the Spirit. After they had me in the hospital for a while, they did surgery on my heart. You see this scar? They took this artery and they put it in here in my heart. And a few others. But after a time of repentance before the Lord, because of my arrogance and my pride, I hope it's all gone. But I went down on my face before the Lord in that hospital room. Sometime after that, Jesus came personally to me. And He gave me a word for the church. And His face, I tell you, you don't want to see His face. He is a master. And He will not put up with any, I don't know what word would translate best for you. I was going to say shenanigans, but I don't think you have a word for that. Unrighteousness of any kind. In John chapter 10, Jesus talked much about the shepherd ministry. Inasmuch as He said, I am the good shepherd. Now, Bert read you a passage earlier from Jeremiah. And by the way, go home and read that whole chapter and find other chapters in Jeremiah and some in Isaiah where the word pastor is used in the King James, and probably rightly so. Even though the Hebrew says shepherds. So what I'm saying is, in the whole New Testament, the only time the word poimeion is translated as pastor is here in Ephesians 4. If the translator were being correct, he would have translated John chapter 10, I am the good pastor. And if you went to the true definition of the word, then he would have had to have said, I am the good cowboy. Amen. Because a cowboy drives cattle. Now, the next verse here in Ephesians 4. You see, we can take a lot of time on these verses. And we can clearly understand what God meant to say. Not what we hope he had said, but what he really did say. So he gives these five gifts, okay, in verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. The next word in the next verse is till. Is that also in your Bible, until?
Yeah.
All right. So the word until means there comes a point where that ministry comes to an end. So we need to hasten ourselves out of these ministry jobs. Amen. Until when? Until we all come, not just leadership, all of God's sheep, come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Did you hear the word perfect man here? Let's read it again. Unto a perfect man. Unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now, when I say we are preaching the kingdom of God, that means we are preaching this verse as well. That God expects to bring His church as one man functioning together, Kenya working with America, with Nigeria, perfect man, recognize the servants of God. Amen. Into the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. You see, men have even misunderstood this verse. I have a hard time understanding how people can take the Word of God and twist it in such a manner to make it fit their favorite doctrine. Time is almost up. I'll finish with a story. And I do have a lot more for you, if you can bear it. Okay, I don't want you to choke. Okay. I was in the Czech Republic 15 years ago. My wife and I went there. We spent most of the summer there. Group of young people, just kids, you know, teenage 20s, you know, coming out of churches. Right after the communists had pulled out, And a woman came into our meeting one time. She said, I met some people from America that believe the same thing you believe. I said, really? Here in Prague? She said, yes. I said, oh, I'd love to meet them. Well, they came. We were staying in an apartment. They came. There were two of them. And they were from America. And I said, so, I understand you believe exactly the way we believe. The one of them said, yes, I hope so. Tell us, they said to me, tell us what you believe. Well, I came to this verse. Verse 12, you know. And I said, you know, God has this five ministry in place today. Until we all come in the unity. They must have been Baptists of some sort. They said, no, 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 we don't have those ministries. I said, well, it says here, until we all come. Well, they said, well, we have all come. I said, but you and I aren't even agreeing. How can you say we're all in unity? They said, well, we have the whole Bible. That was their definition of we all come into the unity. So what was the problem? Is they did not recognize prophets and apostles. Amen.
Amen.
Two of the most key of the five and their definition of these ministries is that they passed away when the last of the 12 apostles died. Well, maybe Paul. We could add Paul to that. Yeah. When Paul and... Well, actually, when John died, he was the last one. See, they tried to kill John. They put him in boiling oil. And they couldn't kill him. That's why they put him on the island. My goodness, what are they going to do with us? Amen. All right, so why do they say those ministry gifts have passed away? Well, you can say the prophetic gift is done away when you don't have prophecy anymore. Or when a man refuses to prophesy in real prophecies. And the next time, the next generation says, well, we don't, these are misused, we don't, you know, we had this false apostle, and let's just say we're not going to have them anymore. And so they've done away with them. Now, I don't personally know very many apostles. I have known one. I do believe that God has others. It's a big world. I don't know everything that's going on in the church. But I do know that we have come here with an apostolic word. God sent a man to restore truth. a people of God. And some of us were privileged to have been part of that ministry, that apostolic ministry. That is a word that we are bringing. Now, you're Pentecostal people, some of you. Most of you are Pentecostal-oriented people, aren't you? You believe in the gifts of the Spirit? Am I hearing amens here? Okay. So, you don't have a problem with the prophet ministry? All right. And I want to just finish and give you a quick little guide on the fivefold ministry. The ministry of the hand. The hand of God. Do you know the ministry could be the hand of God? Here's the apostle ministry. It's hard to do things with your hand if you don't have a thumb. I have an awful time with this bottle without my thumb. I could probably do it, but it's so much easier to do it this way. The apostolic ministry, brethren, to the church in this hour is crucial. The ministry of the prophet is to point the way. Thus saith the Lord. I have one finger that reaches out beyond my others. The evangelist reaches out. The shepherd ministry is where we wear the ring. It's a ministry of love. If you had read the rest of what Bert was giving you from Jeremiah, you would see that the shepherd ministry had not been loving the sheep. And finally, we have the teacher ministry. And the teacher ministry is best at getting into the ear. They missed it. Okay. All right. Yes. Well, God bless you. Thank you for your attention. And the Lord has much more good for us. Amen.